Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished professional from Mumbai, India, Mr. Rajesh Srivastav. Rajesh, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, guys. And Mr. Garg, honored to be invited.
Thank you so much. Rajesh is the former president of J.K. Helene Curtis. He's the author of a book titled The New Rules of Business, published by Penguin. He writes for various publications and he's a startup mentor. So Rajesh, today let's talk about branding and marketing, an area that you spent a very, very large part of your life. Let's start by saying, is marketing a science or an art?
Well, Ashutosh, I personally believe marketing is an art. Mm-hmm. And the reason is as follows. For marketing, I believe creativity, innovation, business storytelling, influencing people over whom you have no control, mm-hmm. critical thinking, all these are ingredients or the building blocks.
Okay.
And if you look at all these traits, they belong to the right side of the brain. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I believe that marketing is an art, not a science.
Okay. And given the amount of time you have spent with so many different brands, tell me what goes into building a successful brand?
According to me, there are two things that go to build a successful brand. Mm-hmm. First, any brand and any successful brand basically identifies a customer pain point and solves it in a robust manner.
Okay.
That's the first point. And the second point, which is equally important, is whatever solution it provides, it has to put its competitors to shame on that chosen dimension.
Okay.
So these are the two mantras of a successful brand.
Amazing. And between you and me, we've seen so many different brands all over the world in India. Brands are like living beings. You've got to keep investing in them to make sure they grow and they thrive. Yet brands die and some carry on for hundreds of years. What do companies or individuals need to do to keep brands relevant for a very long period of time?
Well, let's take one of the most successful brands that is a huge market in India, the Fairness Cream. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the market leader and let's not name the brand.
Sure.
Now, Fairness Cream in India, it actually took off in 1960s and 70s. Mm. At that time, this company or this brand faced a problem. It was Fairness Cream, and the level of fairness among women in India is different. Mm. So the J&K level of fairness is the women are much fairer compared to other parts of India.
Correct.
But the problem they faced was very simple. Mm. And the problem was they wanted to come out with one communication which addressed the entire, segment of women. Mm. So if the fairness levels are different, then how do you come out with one communication? Mm-hmm. And this is where research came to their aid. And what they realized is that no matter how fair a woman is, in 1970s, there was one occasion at which, no matter how fair a woman is, a woman wanted to be fairer. So in 1970s, that special occasion was marriage. Mm. So if you go back and see the advertisement, it showed a woman just before getting married was using Fair and Lovely. Mm. Time moved on, the brand moved on. And what they discovered is that 7 years later, or let's say the 7 year itch, the woman used Fair and Lovely, got married. And 7 years later, she found that the husband was not looking at her. Mm. What is the solution? Become fair and use the fairness cream. Mm-hmm. Here comes a transition point. Mm. And the transition point is women had now moved on and their aspiration was not to just get married or to have her husband look at her, but to actually become career oriented. Mm-hmm. So the brand now was also addressing women from tier two, tier three towns.
Okay.
So they came out with that advertisement which showed a young lady standing on the railway platform. Next to her was a woman. And the entire scenario was that this young girl was going all alone to the city to pick up, to take up a career there or make a career. Mm-hmm. And while she is going, the mother hands over the fairness, a tube of that fairness cream. Mm-hmm. So here's now marriage, make the husband look, cut, a woman making her career in a city. Mm. Once she's gone there, then the next level is she wants to make a career. And to make a rousing career, what does she need? So if you're a TV reporter, you need to put that fairness cream. Mm-hmm. And now finally, if you go back and see, that same fairness cream has now changed its entire brand name. And it says, I no longer talk about fairness, but I talk about glow.
Wow.
What is the lesson for us? Mm-hmm. The lesson for us is, if a product is targeted at a target audience, then as the target audience evolves, so has the brand. Mm. So from fairness, it's become glow. From special occasion, which is marriage, it's now become career. Mm. And not just career, but looking after the parents. So this is the simple mantra.
Very interesting.
Growing and evolving with the customer. And that is a simple thing to do.
Very interesting. And of course, continuous feedback from your customer, isn't it?
Of course. Of course. That goes without saying that if you are a person or a brand or anything, then you personally need always to get a feedback, because feedback ensures that you always are able to improve.
Interesting. So Rajesh, moving on, when I started my career, and I'm sure when you started your career, there were these big billboards and there were newspaper ads, and then television came in, and cinema advertising was happening to build brands. Today, we have a digital ecosystem. What, in your opinion, should brands be doing to stay relevant in a very, very fast-paced digital ecosystem?
So, Ashutosh, can I rephrase your question to say that how does one build brand in a digital world?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm just going to pick out, there are many ways in which you can do it, but mm-hmm. let's pick out the one, which is touching a part of our life. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up anyone, you can pick up banking, you can pick up airlines, you can pick up courier company, or you mm-hmm. can pick up apparel, just pick anyone. Mm-hmm. Women apparel, so anyone, just pick up anyone. Mm-hmm. I'll take that option. I'll pick up women's apparel.
Okay.
Right. Or, let's take women apparel. Mm-hmm. In the digital world, they're still following the same principle that I mentioned when I said, when you asked me, how do you build brands? Mm-hmm. The first thing is identify the customer pain point, mm-hmm. and then solve it and put competitors to shame on that chosen dimension. Mm-hmm. So let's come to women's apparel. If you have gone shopping with your wife, mm-hmm. and she's gone shopping for women's apparel, this is what most men experience. I went shopping with my wife to Zara, which is very close to where we stay. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting while she shopped. And what did I notice? First of all, my wife was not able to make up her mind, which ones to try. And it was a constant struggle. Second, after she chose three dresses which she wanted to try, there was a big queue, in the trial room. The trial rooms, finally, when she got a trial room, the trial rooms are very, very compact. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult, to undergo that process of trial. And after each trial, having inspected, every woman comes out to get the opinion either of her husband or her friends. Mm-hmm. And this keeps on, three times it happens. Mm-hmm. If none is selected, then another three rounds. So look at the pain point. Mm-hmm. She's struggling to choose three, waiting in the queue to get her chance to get the trial room, struggling in the trial room, wanting to get a feedback or a second opinion. Mm-hmm. What has the digital ecosystem done? Mm-hmm. It has used something which is called, let's say, a smart mirror or a magic mirror. Mm-hmm. It's placed it in the retail store. Mm-hmm. Now, all that a shopper has to do is go and drag and drop the dress on her. Mm-hmm. drag and drop the address. By just dragging and dropping and looking at the magic mirror, she can see. And a woman wants to try out all the dresses in the shop. So she drags and drops and sees. And whichever she likes, she just clicks and it gets stored in the memory.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she has stored, let's say 10 options, she now chooses three and instantly posts on Instagram and Facebook and saying, hey, which one do I look gorgeous in? Which one would you vote for? And now from world over, her friends and everybody is voting, hey, you look gorgeous in this and this. And based on which dress got voted up, she buys that. Now look, all the pain points have been sorted out. She can try all the dresses, doesn't have to wait in a queue, doesn't have to go to the trial room. And instead of having one or two friends or the husband to tell her what she looks like, the whole digital community is now voting for her. So Ashutosh, the whole question is, in a digital ecosystem, you have to create a platform wherein you make your customer into your partial employee. This retail store does not have any retail salesperson. It doesn't even have physical clothes. It is just digitally you can drag and drop.
Interesting.
So in a digital world, it offers three things. One is that it offers you an opportunity to get your customer to be your employee. And the best thing is, if you want to increase your customer satisfaction, then the simple thing is to make your customer into your partial employee. Not only will your cost go down and your profit go up, but the customer satisfaction will go up as well. And this strategy is used by banks. Today, Ashutosh, if you go to the bank, they penalize you. They made you into a partial customer. You pay your bills, you do bank transfers, you do credit card payment without having to go to the bank.
Correct.
Same case with airlines.
Very interesting. So now let's move to another aspect of, you know, you said go to a store which has a lot of digital enablement for someone to check what kind of apparel they want. But at the same time, digital, the digital world has also brought the store into the customer's house through the various e-commerce platforms. How, in your opinion, should brand managers be reacting to customers now talking of fulfillment sitting out of their home?
So can I again rephrase it? If your customers are working from home, then how should a brand manager create products to cater to this work from home community? Is that the right question?
Sure, go ahead and ask me.
I worked in alcoholic beverages industry. So let me take the example of alcoholic beverage industry to answer this.
Right.
I no longer work, but if I were working during lockdown, I would basically again focus on my customers. I would very quickly realize that the desire of customers to have alcohol has not gone down. In fact, on the other hand, under pressure, under tension, the desire to consume alcohol has gone up. So what should I do? I should make sure that the alcohol never gets over at his home. And for that, what do I need to do? Very simple. If I need to make sure that alcohol never gets over at home, then instead of having small pack size, I will go in for a liter pack. Now, these have to be delivered at home. So what's the big issue with the courier company or the e-commerce company or any company supplying it at home? It may break. So I will opt for pet packaging. Number three, large pack size pet packaging. It has to be easy to use. So if it is large pack, instead of getting a grip to pour it, I will give it a handle. Now, by doing these three simple things, which is increasing the pack size, changing the pack material and giving it a handle, I made it more convenient for people to order, stock and consume at home.
Okay. So moving on, I want to ask you one more question on branding marketing and then move on to your book. Today is the day of the millennials and the Gen Zs. You know, we've all worked with people across different ages, and the millennials and the Gen Zs who are inheriting our earth seem to be doing a very, very good job of at least attempting to change the mess we have made as from my generation. What, in your opinion, are the millennials and the Gen Z doing to change branding?
Well, actually, Ashutosh, you've answered it. And instead of just your generation, it's our generation. Mm-hmm. And I want to share this with you. The chairman of the company that I joined way back in 1980s as a management trainee, he had said, the business of our business is to make money. Mm-hmm. And he says, remember that as long as you work with us. Mm-hmm. This was in 80s. Now come to this century and this decade, mm-hmm. where millennials have taken over. The millennials say that profit is not the reason why I will choose a brand. Mm-hmm. I will choose a brand which focuses on planet, mm-hmm. followed by its people, and then lastly, profit. Mm-hmm. Now, if millennials who are going to contribute to your workforce mm-hmm. as employees mm-hmm. and who are also going to be your customers believe mm-hmm. that planet, people, and profit are in that order, mm-hmm. therefore your brand has to represent that it is doing things which are favorable to the planet, which means it's a sustainable brand.
Correct.
Number two, it respects its people. If any brand, in fact, even today, if you want to have a competitive advantage, and I'll just give you one example, you take automobiles. Mm-hmm. Today, Tesla is the world's most valuable automobile company mm-hmm. based on one simple premise. It says, I offer you clean transportation, which means I'm sustainable transportation.
Correct.
Number one. Number two, you may have heard of many organizations treating and mistreating people. Very few claims or counterclaims have been made about Tesla mistreating its people. So if you and then of course, lastly is profit. Mm-hmm. So Tesla is a great example why millennials prefer brands represented like Tesla, which focuses on planet, which is sustainability, looks after its people, and then of course, lastly, profit is a byproduct.
Very interesting. So Rajesh, let's now move to your book, The New Rules of Business. Before I ask you to tell me about your book, is it available on Amazon and other platforms?
Yes, it is available on Amazon and other e-commerce platform and other leading bookstores. And Ashutosh, I just wish to share with you, in the month that we are talking, this month, this book has earned the title of a national bestseller.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about the book and what was your hypothesis and motivation to write it?
Ashutosh, work took me to various parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I started teaching and doing training program and consulting companies. Mm-hmm. So corporate career plus teaching, training and consultancy introduced me to, you know, global brands and global companies. And what I realized, much to my amazement, was that the world starting from this century is changing. Mm-hmm. There are these new age companies which are represented by Amazon, Starbucks, Tesla, Facebook, Twitter, Alibaba. These new age companies are dismantling the old rules of business and installing new rules. Mm-hmm. Whereas all the companies that I worked with or I managed or I did training program for, they were still doing business using the old rules of business. Mm-hmm. Now you will say, so what's the problem? The problem is that they will still continue to work. Mm-hmm. But if you follow the old rules in this current time, then it is like using the rotary phone in an era of smartphone.
So for our viewers and listeners, just give us one or two examples of an old rule and a new rule.
Let's take, in the old world, you had company hired employees mm-hmm. to do all the work for the company.
Right.
And as I mentioned earlier in this interview, digital companies are actually using customers to become their partial employees. So if you take banking, Ashutosh, you become a partial employee. You
Correct.
Do all the work for them and you get paid zero. Mm. So one of them is that they have converted you into a partial employee. Mm. Number two, what was believed is that if you had to, customer was God, right? And we did everything to pamper customer. That is what was taught to me in IIM Bangalore. Mm. But in 21st century, the new rule is that customer is really not God. And if there is anybody who's God, it's employees. Why? Because when employees are happy, they can make customers happy. And when customers are happy, they give you repeat business and the company is happy.
Correct.
Right. So this is how the rules are changing.
Okay. And would you like to give us one or two more examples of some other rules that you have been, see there's been a big change between old and new?
Well, a business model is one of them. Mm-hmm. Every single organization that you would have worked with, they had a business model which was based on you selling a product or a service, and the customer who bought your product and service were actually giving you money. That's how you made revenue. Come these digital companies like Facebook and Twitter and any of these companies, they don't charge you. They provide their product free to you, but still they are the world's most valuable company. Google is one of them. So this is an amazing example of how business models have been dramatically, you know, revised. So you don't need to sell your product to be a world's most valuable company. This is one. Second thing is called disrupt and destroy. In times gone by, companies existed for 40 years, 50 years, right? Without disrupting or destroying themselves. In 21st century, you don't have that luxury. And if you ask me why, the answer is very simple. The nature of competition has changed. In the industrial era, competition was visible, direct, and from the same industry. So if you operated in an automobile industry, your competitor was General Motor, Chrysler, Honda, Toyota. So they were visible, direct, and same industry. Now come to automobile industry. Who has come and disrupted them? It's not another automobile company, it's a tech company, Tesla. So competition has become invisible, indirect, and cross-industry. Invisible, indirect, and cross-industry. So today, no organization knows who their competitor is. So if your competitor is invisible, then how will you protect your business? By disrupting your own self at regular intervals and emerging in a stronger avatar all the time.
Very interesting. So my last question to you now, Rajesh, and this, let me go back to what you said. One of your bosses told you that the purpose of business is to make profit. Given the new rules of business that you have written about, one of the young unicorns was telling me that today you need a special talent to lose money and get huge valuations. Is one of the new rules of business just to create a huge amount of hype, get a large number of customers, and profit doesn't matter?
The whole issue is that, again, the rules have changed and you're using the old matrix to measure a new age organization.
Okay.
So we had a P&L, and the P&L was revenue, cost of goods, gross margin, etc. These organizations, the rules are different.
Right.
And what are the rules? The rules are as follows, based on which they get valuation. One of them is called net promoter score. One of them is called customer effort score. The next one is called referral score. Then there is something called repeat business. I'm just stopping here.
I'm with you. Right?
Now you take any of these companies. Let's start with Amazon. Amazon, the net promoter score. How much is a customer recommending Amazon to his friends is very, very high. What is customer effort score? Customer effort score is the effort a customer has to put in to get himself or herself serviced. Customer effort score is the amount of effort a customer has to put in to get himself or herself serviced.
Sure. And
Amazon is very, very low. So their net promoter score is high. Their customer effort score is low. Their repeat business is extremely high. Referral rate is high because net promoter score is high and referral conversion rate is high.
Okay.
Now, what does it all indicate? That customers are happy. And when customers are happy, what will they give you? They'll give you repeat business. They will not be price sensitive. They'll be loyal to you.
Okay.
And therefore, instead of measuring a new age company on these parameters, you start measuring them on revenue, cost of goods, gross margin, you know, EBITDA, mm-hmm. net margin, free cash flow. So you're actually using the matrix of a rotary phone to measure a smartphone. Or more importantly, let me give you this Nokia example. Why did Nokia fail? Nokia failed because it used its test to measure the viability of mm-hmm. iPhone. What was the test used by Nokia? It was called the 5 feet drop test. Mm-hmm. Nokia was a communication device which is sturdy. So what they used to do is take their Nokia phone from a 5 feet height and drop it on a concrete floor. Mm-hmm. If it still worked, Nokia was good. So when iPhone was launched, they dropped it from a 5 feet. It did not work. The reason is it's not a communication device, it's a smartphone. And when it did not work, they wrote off iPhone. And that is what is happening with old world companies and old world accountants using the 5 feet metaphoric drop test to measure new age companies.
Very interesting. Rajesh, on that note, we've come to the end of our conversation. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me at such length and giving such amazing examples about branding and marketing. Congratulations on your book, The New Rules of Business, becoming a national bestseller. Thank you again and good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Ashutosh, for having me.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.